Question number 8897, rule number 2.
Mr. Easton, rule 2. I think you said that when Lawrence visited your wife, he also brought some presents. Can you tell me what presents they were?
Oh, yes. He brought for the son, he brought a game with fish with magnetic little loops on it. And but my daughter, when I asked her last week what he brought her, but she couldn't remember. Of course, she was very young. And they're 60, over the 60s now.
I think that you said that you used to collect the news for Lawrence.
Oh, yes. I used to collect all the wireless news from Rugby Station. It's a very high frequency, but a long wave it was, and it was I made special calls to go on the Air Force set, and I used to get all the Morse news from England, from Rugby, and I used to pass it up to the orderly room, and he used to make it kind of a newspaper and give it around to the messes, the sergeant's mess, officer's mess, and airman's mess. And I've done that for all the time I was out there, actually. But then, of course, when they went from the long wave to the short wave, and of course that's a different thing. But I used to take all this Morse, but hour, I should think, I'd be on there. And they used to type it all, or at least write it all. I'm not too sure writing or typing.
Did all the airmen like him, or were there any of the
airmen? Oh, yes, everybody liked him. Oh, yes, he is well liked. I don't think anybody disliked him.
Did you never hear anybody say that they disliked him?
No. But since I've been home, I've heard two or three people saying that he's homosexual. Well, I could stake my life that he wasn't homosexual. And I spoke to this man who picked him up in the armoured car, and he's the same as me. He said his wife was very disturbed about it. And
disturbed about what?
About the people talking about and saying that he was homosexual. Well, he definitely wasn't.
Did any of the NCOs try to victimise him because he was different?
Oh, no. No, he got on with everybody. He got on with any sergeants and flight sergeants and all of them. He got on with everybody, I think, out there. In fact, everybody was very sorry to think he left.
Did he have anything to do with the local people, the Indians?
Oh, no. We never used to see any. The only ones we used to see is a caravan sometimes. When they used to buy wood, lacquerie wallers, they used to call them, and used to come in with a big caravan of wood, rotted wood, you know, from the forest, and they used to try to do a bit of swindling of it. They used to put it between their shoulders, and they used to put their foot on it to weigh it down, and all that kind of thing. But I don't think he was there then. He wouldn't talk to anyone there. He never used to talk to anybody there.
Did you ever see him lose his temper?
No.
So he never got angry about anything?
No, not to my knowledge, to anybody. No, he's a very quiet, reserved man.
Did he go in for sport?
No, there wasn't much sport there, but I don't... No, there wasn't no sport really there at all in the fort. You couldn't go out of the fort. We weren't allowed out of the fort. And there was no sport in the fort. They used to get up little dog shows and things like that, and with the dogs that some of the men had. But there wasn't really any sport. They had hockey sticks that knocked about a ball or something like that, but it wasn't no sides, no proper thing at all.
Would he do that? Would he play
hockey? No, he wouldn't. He didn't do anything like that. I don't think he was interested in anything like that.
I think that you made some kind of immersion heater for him.
Oh, yes, yes. One day he came to me. He wasn't up there very long, and he come up to me and asked me if I would, if he got all the components, could I make an immersion heater to get so they can have hot water for baths. What they used to do before that, they used to have a big tank, and they had the fire, the wood and all that to make the water hot. There wasn't no convenience with taps and things like that there. And I said, well, if he got the things that I asked for, I could make an immersion heater and I'll make an hot water bath for him. And I told him all what I wanted. And he knew somebody down in Karachi. And I don't know who he knew down. He knew somebody down there. And he managed to get a big bath and a lot of tubes and some coils for me to make up for the immersion heater. And I made up this immersion heater and had it in the charging room of the wireless place. And when I first switched it on, it very nearly stopped the transformers over the touchy scouts, but anyway, I switched it off quick. And I got it to work, and he used to come up every day and have a bath. And he used to go out in the sun, nothing on his head and nothing on his feet. And I said, he'd get sunstroke. And he said, oh, no, he wouldn't get sunstroke if he had nothing on his head, nothing on his feet. Well, I wouldn't try it anyhow. But he used to go out, walk around in the mineral shaft fort. You couldn't go outside, of course. And he used to come up every day there and have this bath. And he was quite delighted with that.
Was it one of the Air Force regulations that you had to wear a topi?
Oh, yes, in the service, you had to wear it, yes. When I first went out, you used to have a spine pad as well. And they suddenly found out that gave them meningitis. So they stopped the spine pad, but you had to always have a pith helmet for working, and a proper topi for the, you know, for ceremonials and all that kind of thing.
So why wasn't he punished if he didn't wear the pith helmet?
They didn't know about it, I suppose.
Did other airmen?
Oh, they didn't know nothing about that. No.
Did other airmen not wear the pith helmet?
Oh yes, everybody wore a helmet. Yes, everybody was very keen to wear it because the sun was so strong, and they soon get sunstroke.
So was Lawrence the only one not to wear it?
Yes, to my knowledge, he's the only one. Yeah. I've known other men in other places that went to, well, they had to do lally tap, you know, they got sunstroke. And in fact, I've guarded some of them, some of the places I've been to. And but as I say, he didn't affect them at all.
You mentioned earlier about other airmen asking him questions.
Yeah.
What kind of questions would they ask him?
Well, they used to ask him if what he'd done in the service and all that kind of thing. But he used to shut up. He wouldn't answer no questions. No, he really was very keen on to keep us right away from it, like, you know.
Would he ask other people questions?
Oh, no. No. No.
I think that you were in Miran Shah from 1928 to 31. Then you went to Ambala and then back to Miran Shah.
Yeah.
Was he still at Miran Shah when you went back?
No. 1928. He was only there 2 years, I think. I think it was only 2 years.
Do you know if he ever went up in an aeroplane?
Not out there, no. No, not at Minamjaya. I'm positive he didn't go.
Why are you so positive?
Well, because I used to work with a wireless operator in all the aeroplanes. While the aeroplanes was up, I used to work with them, and so I knew exactly who was in the aeroplanes. In any case, the aeroplanes they had there's only two seaters, the pilot and the wireless operator. So I know for certain he didn't go up there.
Did ground crew ever go up in aeroplanes at Mirrenshaw?
Unless they asked permission, but I don't think they did. But I don't think they allowed them. It was more out there was operations, you know. It was really fighting all the time out there. So I'm sure nobody doing up like that.